I need to lay just a brief foundation. I'm going to talk about this over the next few weeks, okay? So we're going to take our time with this one because I believe it's going to really help some of us in whatever season of life you find yourself in. I want to read from 1 Peter 1. I'm reading 1 through 9. This is from the Message Bible. It says, I, Peter, am an apostle on an assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exile scattered to the four winds. It says, not one is missing, not one forgotten. God the Father has his eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. Say brand new life. Brand new life. Say it just a little stronger. Brand new life. Brand new life. It says this, and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. Say it starts now. Starts now. Come on, say it starts now. It starts right now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. It's been okay to say amen right there. It's okay. It's okay. Okay, you don't have any aggravations or anything going on that's challenging you. Okay. That's just me. Amen, 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 amen. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you have kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking for, forward to total salvation. I want to read a couple of other scriptures here. John 10, 7 through 10. Therefore Jesus said again, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that ye may have life and have it to the full. The one translation says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Say more abundantly. Lastly, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Say, recover your life. Come on, say, Jesus wants me to recover my life. It goes on and says, I'll show you how to take a real rest, walk in me, walk with me, and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And so for the next few weeks, or however long the Lord has us in this series, I'm going to talk about living life on God's terms. Living life on God's terms. You've heard me say more recently, and it was resonating, and it kept just coming back around and around till I knew God wanted to say something about it. You've heard me say, don't live life on life's terms. Do not live life on life's terms. Because I believe that the Lord's going to help us to see how minimized and marginalized our lives can end up, even as believers, if we live our lives on life's terms. He says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Some of you will remember a book that I've referred to numerous times called The Dream Giver, Following Your God-Given Destiny by Bruce Wilkinson. How many of you remember that book? If you've been at Ayers any amount of time, I've referred to it numerous times, did a whole teaching from it. And I found myself going back to that book while reading and studying and praying about this time when I think about living life on God's terms. Because you see, think about this. There would be no Isaac if Abraham lived life on life's terms. Because life said, you're too old. You can't do anything. Sarah can't do anything. That would be living life on life's terms. But living life on God's terms is altogether different. There would be no John, the cousin of Jesus, if Zechariah and Elizabeth were living life on life's terms. There would be no, let me make sure I'm saying this right. See, I don't like to say stuff and then it's like, man, that got recorded too, and it's wrong. Let me say it a different way. Had Joseph lived life on life's terms and the terms of the culture and their traditions, he'd have never been stepdaddy to the Savior of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he. Had Mary lived life on life's terms, she wouldn't have been the mother of Jesus. She could have said, no, thank you very much, get somebody else. Because I ain't understanding this. And I sure enough ain't about to go around telling people that I'm carrying a child by the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense to you? I'm talking about living life on God's terms. Because when you think about those examples, every one of them had the opportunity to say no. The opportunity to not come into agreement. Now, would it have been wrong? Not necessarily. They just would have missed out. As a matter of fact, you remember, see, Zechariah, he did struggle. So much so that God just said, okay, here's what we need to do to help you out. You're not going to talk. You're not going to talk. I think he couldn't hear either. He could hear, but he couldn't talk. He said, and you won't be able to talk till the baby gets here. Now, living life on life's terms, according to custom and tradition, when the baby was born, the baby's name should have been Zechariah. But there's something about living life on God's terms. He just has a way of saying, I ain't going that way. I know you've gone that way for generations. We ain't going that way anymore. And when it comes to living life on God's terms, we will find ourselves wrestling with the change or the shift that we're not accustomed to. And if you give in to the pressure of life and the pressure of culture and the pressure of custom, oftentimes you will circumvent, never come into the reality of or the manifestation of what God truly had because you chose to live life on life's terms rather than on God's terms. And so when the child was born and Elizabeth was saying, you know, everybody's excited, Zach is here, and his name ain't Zach. They go to the daddy. Now, he can't talk, but he says, give me something to write with. And he wrote four words that changed the trajectory. Ah, of a whole nation. His name is John. And the moment he wrote those words, he was like, hallelujah, glory to God. Now he living life on life's terms will always challenge God's best for your life. In this book, The Dream Giver, it's about a little fellow named Ordinary who lives in the land of Familiar, and when he wakes up and he finds a feather in on his windowsill, and he starts to have this stirring on the inside, that helps him to recognize that something is going on. And he realized, and he begins to say to himself, I've been created for something more. Because he lives in ordinary, he lives in familiar, and I want to read just this excerpt from him because he's been grappling with it. And then he decides to go and spend some time with his parents. So it picks up here. It says, one evening after work, Ordinary went to his parents to watch the box, the TV. But their box was broken. So the house was very quiet. It was even more quiet because Mother was out shopping at Familiar Foods. In the quietness, Ordinary started to think about his dream again. He looked over at his father sitting in his recliner, staring at the single page of Nobody's News. Maybe he could help. Father, said Ordinary, I'm growing sadder and sadder by the day. I don't like my usual job anymore. In fact, I think I hate it. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt like that? That is just the mundane. Can I submit to you? Now, this isn't, the okay to go quit your job tomorrow. No, I think sometimes what that is that dream, that seed on the inside, that thing on the inside of you that's speaking to you like when God came to Jeremiah and said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you as a prophet to the nations, that there's something hidden, something stirring. I believe that about everybody, Gary, that there's something on the inside of us. The challenge that we face is sometimes the environment we're brought up in, it doesn't make it conducive for that thing that God has placed on the inside of you to be cultivated. So life has a way of causing that thing to just get kind of buried. And as you go on, you're kind of feeling it, but then something else happens in life, and then it gets buried a little more, then something else happens in life, and it gets buried a little more, and then after a while, you're not quite feeling it. But somewhere down life, somewhere when you're sitting in your 30s, 40s, 50s, or whatever, all of a sudden something starts to stir again, and you begin to say, I remember. Father said, Ordinary, I'm growing sadder and sadder by the day. I don't like my usual job anymore. In fact, I think I hate it. Father looked up, said, that's terrible. What happened? Before he could stop himself, Ordinary started talking about the dream giver and about the big dream. I was made to be somebody and achieve great things, he said. And then he told his father the name of his dream. As he spoke, his voice trembled. He was sure that his father would laugh and call him a fool. But his father didn't. I'm not surprised to hear you say these things, he said. You're not, Ordinary said. No, his father said. You've had that dream ever since you were little. Don't you remember? You used to build that same dream with sticks and mud in front of this very house. Then Ordinary did remember. He'd always had his dream. It was what he'd always wanted to do and what he'd always thought he'd be good at. His eyes filled with tears. "Father," he said, "I think I was born to do this." Can I share this with you? When you give your life to Christ, when you're born again, there's gifts, talents, abilities that are on the inside of you. Now, before you are on the other side of the cross and redeemed, you have a tendency to use those gifts, talents, and abilities for yourself, for your own glory, for your own gratification. It's part of the nature of sin. It's part of the nature of selfishness. And for me, in the music aspect of this, I remember my times of playing, and I shared my first instrument is bass guitar, and I enjoyed playing bass, and I enjoyed playing in the clubs, and I enjoyed people telling me how good I was. I knew I was good. And I enjoyed being able to play there, and I enjoyed being able to play, you know, playing for my mom, playing in church, playing for concerts, playing for university choirs and different things like that. But it wasn't until I yielded my life to God, yielded my life to Christ, that then something began to happen that bring that thing into focus, and I began to realize what this gift I had was really all about. Once you give your life to Christ, some things shift to point you into a direction that has to do with fulfilling the very reason you were created and why you are gifted the way you're gifted. You see, when ordinary says here, "I think I was born to do this," I say unashamedly, "I was born to do this. I was born to do this." But what it would mean to do it is there would need to be a conscious effort to live life on God's terms and not on life's terms. Over the next few weeks, I want to talk about how the just little things can kind of set you on course that move you just a little bit off of God's terms and more into life's terms. I want to tell you that life will make you real comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. Hear me when I say that. There's nothing wrong with comfort. But life will make you real comfortable if it means you never do anything that God really intended for you to do. Living life on God's terms means you really are going to have to take some risks. It means you're really going to have to go some places you wouldn't ordinarily go. It's not the way I would have chosen for me. It's not the place I would have gone on my own. But I remember the day I surrendered, and I remember the words he spoke to me. He sent me after glory. He sent me down a road less traveled on. He told me to be faithful and that his grace would keep me strong. He sent me after glory to a place that few would understand. When you are living life on God's terms, you need to get okay with the fact that folks are not going to always understand it. They're not going to get excited with you. They're not going to attaboy you. They're not going to amen you. They're going to look at you and wonder, have you lost your mind? And the truth is, if you're going to do certain things on God's terms, it's going to cost you losing your mind. You can't think everything through. Ordinary and his father sat together quietly. His father seemed to remember something too. After a while, he asked, when you woke up to your big dream, son, did you happen to find a feather? Ordinary was shocked. How did you know? He asked. A long time ago, I woke up to a dream too, his father said. And it came with a long white feather. It was a wonderful dream. I kept the feather on my windowsill while I waited for a chance to pursue it. I waited and waited, but it never seemed possible. One day, I noticed the feather had turned to dust. Of all the sad words Ordinary had ever heard, these were the saddest. Before he left that night, his father hugged him Don't make the same mistake I did, son, he said. You don't have to stay a nobody. You can be a dreamer. When the ordinary got home, he went straight to the window. He picked up the long white feather. He turned it over. He said he turned it over carefully in his hands. He thought about what his father, about his father and the dream he left behind. Then he had a surprising idea. Could it be that maybe the dream giver gave every nobody a dream, but only some embraced their dreams and even fewer pursued them? The more he thought about it, the more he thought it had to be true. And I'm saying to all of us under the sound of my voice and anybody that hears the recording, that really is true. In God, in the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. Sometimes you look at people and you see the things that they're doing and you think, man, how did they get that kind of call? How did they get that kind of favor? How did they get that kind of gifting? But I'm saying to us, Ray, we all have it on the inside of us. We all have something. And in God's eyes, it is all equally valid. Equally valid, distinctively different. I love that statement. I was riding with my son, David, and he has a way with words, and we're riding, and I'm talking to him about our journey and the move that they were getting ready to make, and I was talking to him about the moves we made, and I said, you know, I look at my siblings. I said, you know, I got one brother who stayed on the job 30-some years till he retired. I got a sister, came right out of high school, went to work for, I forget the company, but she went to work for the state. Came right out of high school, worked there 30-some years, and retired. I said, son, that just isn't me. I couldn't do it. And he said, well, yeah, that's interesting. I said, yeah, it is. I said, particularly when I look at my life and I look at their lives. Now, what I'm saying is that there's nothing right or wrong. It's equally valid, distinctively different. Equally valid, distinctively different. And I just recognized that some way, somehow the way that God designed me, he designed me to be willing to take some risks. One thing Ordinary did know for sure, he didn't want to repeat his father's mistake. He wouldn't waste another day waiting for his dream to seem possible. He would find a way to pursue it. Over the next few weeks, I want to talk about and look at examples of individuals, and maybe even some of you, who found a way to pursue it. Instead of waiting for the right opportunity for you to be able to pursue it. Because when it comes to many of the things of God, there is no right opportunity. It's a faith opportunity. It just simply means that you just believe, you launch out. And because... And I want to get to this passage. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just want to give you enough to help you recognize where we're going. Ordinary had a dream. Everybody, I don't care, anybody has had a dream. If it was when you were 5, 4, 3, 2, watching TV, watching Superman, and then you went in the bedroom and got a towel and wrapped it on your neck and tried to jump out the window. Come on, y'all, just stay with me, okay? Or you're watching one of those shows and you see the beautiful beauty queen and you go and get, your hair ain't quite long enough, so you put a towel on your head and tie it up, and you know. You going, see, weave wasn't back in that day, and if you're that little, you ain't got weave anyway, or you shouldn't, well. I'm talking about dreaming. I'm talking about dreaming. What happened to the life you dreamt about? What happened to the dreams that kept you up at night? What happened to the dreams that took your breath away? Where are they now? Where are you now? What happened to the dreams so big they made you fearless? What happened to the dreams so large they made you laugh? Like, who, me? What happened to the dreams that gave you hope and gave you purpose? Where are they now? Where are you now? In Romans 8, 26 through 39, I won't read that right now, but I'll read this verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that are, to those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose." All things work together. All things work together. All things work together. Now look at this. God is able to take anything, say anything. Now I need you to shout anything. God is able to take anything in our lives and use it for our good. We are in a constant state of divine transformation, and which is often accompanied with divine recalibration. We are in a constant state of divine transformation, metamorpho, meaning God is working on the inside, transforming us so that it's manifested on the outside. But it is often accompanied with divine recalibration. Why? Because, Libby, sometimes life is tragic. I remember your little granddaughter that drowned. I remember that. God, I remember that so vividly because it's the first time I ever had to do that. And I don't want to stir up anything in you, but you're a champion. You're a victor. You're living life on God's term. That's why you're here. But I remember walking in there, and they had some little baby music playing in this room as if this. And I said, wait a minute. Y'all got the wrong picture. I said, is that room available over there? They said, yeah. I said, I need you to move this over there, and I need you to find some worship music. Because what we're about to enter into, we need God all up in the room. And he showed up. But we must recognize that we're often in seasons of divine recalibration. Because God is moving. He's working on the inside of us. But he's also working around us at the same time. And when we talk about living life on God's terms, listen, he understands tragedy. He understands loss. He understands failure. He understands circumstances that are beyond your control, beyond my control. He also understands when you and I make a choice, when we make a decision. And he says, I got it though. Recognize that none of this God is making up. God is not making this up. And I want to encourage us. I want to encourage you. Because what is it that God is saying, I still want to do that? Now, there are some things in our lives that are time sensitive. There's expiration dates on certain things. There just is. It just happens to be that way. But there are some other things that are eternal. There are some other things that will follow you every day of your life. And even on the last day of your life, you may be able to accomplish that very thing for which God created you for. There was something about Paul, and I'm ending here. Team, worship team, let's go. There's something about Paul's life. Think about this. There's something about Paul's life that Paul was able to get to the end of his life and say, I fought a good fight. What was he talking about? He said, I fought my way through the culture. I fought my way through the system. I was not willing to live my life on life's terms. I'm fighting to live it. on God's terms. And when you step into that place of saying, God, I'm going to live out my life on your terms. So I need you to help me navigate through this situation I just went through. I need you to help me to navigate through this health challenge that I'm dealing with. I need you to help me navigate through this financial challenge that I'm dealing with. I need you to help me to work through this relational challenge that I'm dealing with. I need you to help me with my kids. I need you to help me with my marriage. I need you to help me, help me, help me, help me, because I have purpose to live my life on your terms. Paul somehow locked into that place. Joyful expectation. Paul was able to find that place. I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. Then he said, I finished my course. Now, the only way, Pastor, he could say I finished my course is he had to know what course he was on. He had to know what his calling was. He had to recognize he was at the end. So much so was he in line with living life on God's terms that he's able to write to Timothy and say, Timothy, I know that you know the stories of how God has brought me through this and that and shipwreck and being in the sea and beaten and left for dead. You know the story about me being in prison and how we just sang songs and God got us out of prison. You know the story about how that they wanted to kill me, but they put me in a basket and lowered me over the wall. You know the story about how they stole me, but God raised me back up and I got up and I went right on about my business. He says, I know you know all those stories, but this is about living life on God's terms. That's all I need to tell you. My time is up. I'm not coming out this time, so I need to pass this on to you. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And then the most important thing of all of it was the last thing he said. I kept the faith. Life on life's terms is designed that you never have to exercise your faith. You're sick? We got pills for that. Need money? We got loans for that. And it goes on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying that in any given season of our life that we don't need help. And I have been very transparent, and I'm a transparent preacher. I've just always been that way. It scares some folks. Like, you don't need to tell all your business. But I've shared with you, we've been on food stamps, lived in Section 8 housing. But all the while, there has always been something on the inside of me to say it will not always be this way. And I know it now today when I say I will not live life on life's terms. Because if the God that I serve can't get me through this, he's not the kind of God I need to serve. And I had went and I got in that line for food stamps and I had a nice suit on and tie. Yeah, I'm standing there. Somebody tapped me. Sir, do you work here? No. I'm waiting in line just like you.
What Paul was saying is, I lived my life on God's terms. It wasn't easy. I was beaten. They tried to kill me. God delivered me from a shipwreck only to get bitten by a snake. What kind of God lets all that kind of stuff happen to you? I'm on a journey for Him. But something on the inside, God, has got to be your way and only your way. I've cried out to you. Deliver me from this affliction. Deliver me from this thorn. Deliver me from this. And God tells me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in your weakness. And Paul says, okay, let's keep going. Because when you choose to live life on God's terms, hear me now, you will have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to stop. And you know what? Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It just means you will not have fulfilled all that God intended to do in you and through you. Living life on God's terms is not fair. But He is faithful. And so I want to end with this. My son David sent this to me, and here's what I believe to have imparted to my children. Now, Pastor Marisa may see it a different way, and that's on her. But what I imparted to my kids is how to live life on God's terms. See, by standards of life, at the age of 30, with 5 kids, you need to get a job. You need to find a factory. You need to find something that's going to allow you to work, take care of your family, all the stuff that comes with it. Now, hear me. Nothing wrong with that. I tried it. I tried it more than once. The challenge with, as a father, living life on God's terms is everybody with you suffers through it with you. And so I've had numerous conversations with all of my children, with Pastor Marisa. Some understand, some don't. I have to trust and believe when it's all said and done. When I'm somewhere saying, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith, that God's account, God's record will prove out to be the testimony of my faith. But we have 3 of our sons, one in Jacksonville, Florida, one in Greenville, South Carolina, and now one in North Carolina. And someone was asking me, well, how do you feel about that? I said, if there's one thing that I've tried to model for my kids, is not be afraid to take a risk, not be afraid to step out. And now what I'm saying is, live your life on God's terms, not on life's terms. Life will pad you up real nice, set you down, and say, coast your way out of here. Nothing wrong with that. Hear me, nothing wrong with that. That's just not my story. It's not my lane. It's not my DNA. I will be doing something till I leave here, because I'm uniquely gifted to do just that. I'll write books. I'll write songs. I'll preach messages. I'll teach. I'll counsel. Whatever God opens up. It costs. It costs. It means some things you could have, you may not have. Some things you want to do, you may not be able to do. But it also means if you were living life on life's terms, there's some things you're doing now on God's terms that you'd never do on life's terms. So my son, we moved them down to North Carolina, and he sends this back to me. He says, Dad, this is my version. My way lyrics turn God's way. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it God's way. Now, this is one of our sons. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. And more, much more than this, I did it God's way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, Marisa, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it God's way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing. To think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me. I did it God's way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his Lord, then he has not. To say the things the Spirit reveals and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it God's way. Ooh.